Morning. It's Sunday, April 26, 2020, and I haven't been anywhere in almost 8 weeks. We've been apart about 6 weeks, I believe. There are so many things on my mind lately, beginning with you all, actually, and my family, and people who are ill, and how to help people stay well, and what God is up to, and watching him work in the kingdom, even though we're at home. So many things are going through my mind. It was about a week or so ago that I was speaking to someone. We were chit-chatting about what I call everything and nothing, when an image passed through my mind. Now, sometimes when that happens, it just passes by. Kind of like when you walk through a doorway into another room and you forget what you're there for. But sometimes when that happens, the picture stays with me, all the details. And I know that that's the Lord, because we all know my mind doesn't work like that at all. The image that passed through my mind was a wide, wide, very green field. And I was standing by a fence that went as far as I could see both ways. It was really well maintained, by the way. And it was a beautiful day, and I could smell the grass, and there were some trees, and it was sunny, but it wasn't too hot or too cold. And I could hear the birds, and there was a breeze. And it was a really great place to be. But as the week went on, I started rolling that over and over and over in my mind, and questions began to occur. Lord, why am I standing here? Why isn't there a gate somewhere? Am I supposed to climb over this fence? Is there something over there that I'm supposed to get ready for? I should be preparing for? Around and around and around those thoughts went in my head, until I noticed that the grass wasn't any greener on the far side of the fence, or any less thick and delightful than the grass where I was standing. And as far as I could see, there was no fence at all. But also there was no urgency, no sense that I needed to climb over the fence to get to something more important. My job, it would seem, that the Lord gave me was to just stand there and look at the beauty of his creation. The sun, the grass, the trees, the sky was blue. I was to stand there and wait for the Lord. Literally, wait. It was a place where I could share all that stuff that was going around and around in my brain. I could share my praises and my requests and my frustrations. It was all available for me to share with my friend Jesus, the King of the universe. There are places in Scripture where other folks have met God. We know about them. There have been burning bushes and caves and beaches or roads or even a well one time. All kinds of places where people like you and me have started and sorted and talked out their thoughts with the Lord. And today I want to take a quick look at one of those places. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 139, which is kind of halfway in there. The Psalms are kind of in the middle. And 139 is the one we want to look at today. This is a place where David is waiting, and he's sorting things out with the Lord that are weighing on his mind and heart. As we look at this psalm today, I want to touch on a few things. One is God is with us, both in the transcendent, great big King of the universe way, and in the close, quiet, loving way, God is with us. Two, that God is big enough to hear what you have to say and hear about all the things that are going on in you during this unusual time. And three, that God's wisdom is relevant to our situation right now. So open your Bibles, if you will, please. And let's read Psalm 139 together. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise up on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you saw my unformed body. All the days, all my days, were ordained for me and written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God, how vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate them, those that hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This psalm is well known and well loved. When you read it, it's not hard to figure out that something is going on in David's life, something unsettling. Maybe it's keeping him up nights. Maybe it's something he can't share with anybody else. Whatever it is, David has decided to bring it to the Lord in a poem, even a song. So let's take a look. First, God is with us. In the first 12 verses, David rehearses some of the amazing attributes of God. David uses word pictures to illustrate them. Verses 1 through 6 show us that God is all-knowing. We call that omniscient. Look what he says. Verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. God knows us. 2, he knows our habits and our thoughts. In verse 3, he is familiar with all our ways. And moving on to 4, he knows our thoughts and what we're going to say before we say them. He's hemmed us in, behind and before. He hems us in. That phrase means he makes us secure. We're inside of his care, and he's on watch on the outside looking and watching for us. The knowledge is just too much for us to attain. A quick look at verses 7 through 12 tell you that God is everywhere, and the big word for that is omnipresent. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise up on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, the light becomes night around me. Even in the darkness, it will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. In other words, David is saying, no matter where I go, as far, far, far away as I can think of, to the edges of space and sea and dawn and dark, to the very limits of my behavior, my being, and beyond, God's right hand of strength and power will hold me firmly and securely. The pervasive God is with us. Verses 13 through 18 remind us that God is also with us in a way that's so personal we have trouble comprehending the connection. Verse 13 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Have you ever seen the ultrasound of a baby? You know, when somebody comes and they're so excited and they show you this picture of their child. And if you've seen a few ultrasounds, you can kind of make out an itty-bitty little spine and an eye, and maybe the beginning of hands and feet and arms. Or maybe you haven't seen very many ultrasounds, and it looks more like a little bean than a baby, huh? Well, whatever you see in that photo, know that God is there. He's there in triumph and in the tragedy. He hems us in before we are even completed in our mother's tummy. Verse 17, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake, you're still there." In all of his majesty and power, God is with us. And in the tiniest little bean miracles and cells, he is with us in a way that is both intimately personal, yet cosmically kingly. Too hard for us to understand. Something that we know from Scripture, he is with us. God is with us. Secondly, God is big enough to hear about all our anxious thoughts. We aren't alone in this current unsettled situation we're in. All those thousands of years ago, David was feeling like we feel. Let's talk about that anxious spirit that is David's carrying around with him. As he goes about writing, his anxiety overwhelms him, and he breaks through into his consciousness and his words. And David's written well over half the song about God being present with him. The awesome, mighty God, and the intimate ways, when suddenly David's anxiety crashes out onto the page. And it surprises us a little, doesn't it? David cries out, "If you, Lord, if only you would slay the wicked, O God, please, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those that hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies," David says. Quite often in David's time, especially as king of Israel, his political enemies were also his theological enemies. Not always. Sometimes his enemies came from within, but generally this was not the case. Those four verses would indicate that David was fed up with his situation. "Lord, can't you just slay them? My adversaries are evil, and they slander you, Lord. I can't do this one more day. I can't do this anymore." Do you feel like you just can't do that social distancing thing anymore? Or maybe there's too much to think about and you feel lost about what to believe, what's true and what's not true? I want you to know that feeling uncomfortable is a normal reaction to all this. I don't know about you, but some days, just like in David's verses 19 through 22, my anxiety bubbles over and it pours out. Sometimes it only bubbles over in my mind. And sometimes it bubbles over verbally, and my infinitely patient husband has to listen. Both times, in both circumstances, God hears me. God is with me, and he's with you. He's big enough to hear all of our anxious thoughts. The third thing I want to talk about this morning is God's wisdom. God's wisdom seems something too huge and too overwhelming for us to understand. But I believe it's relevant in our situation today. It seems that David has poured out all of the stuff inside of him, and he comes back to himself, and he's a little spent and quite humble. So we see in verses 23 and the first part of 24, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Search if there's any offensive way in me." How can we as Christ followers, in the midst of all this uncertainty and the flood of information, have a heart for God and his kingdom? How can we corral our anxious thoughts and curb our offensive ways? I believe a good beginning and foundation is with the wisdom of God. In the New Testament, this one's way in the back, and you have to go slowly. It might be easier to start at the back and go forward. It's that far back, and all the books back there are fairly small. So carefully make your way to the book of James. In that New Testament book, the book of James, it begins with the encouragement that trials produce perseverance, maturity, and completion. Pastor Tim has been telling us about that. It's kind of a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? James goes on to say, if we lack wisdom, all we have to do is ask God, and he will give it to us generously. Still further along in chapter 3, there are some very interesting information regarding our speech and our motivations. In contrast to selfish ambition, envy, disorder, evil, the last verses of the chapter reveal characteristics of the wisdom of God. Verse 17, chapter 3. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. That's kind of a lovely list, isn't it? Let's read it again. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. This is the measure of what God is saying versus what the enemy of our soul would like for us to believe. When you are unsettled and anxious during this time, I encourage you to stand still at that fence with no gate and just take in the beauty. God is with you. He has you hemmed in. And share all that stuff that's going around and around in your mind, your requests, your frustrations, your praises. Ask yourself, are your thoughts centered on what is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere? They can be. Ask God. He will give it to you generously. God's wisdom, even during COVID-19, is calm and intelligent. Measure what you hear and say by that. Only God can do these things. There's nothing we can ever do to make that happen for us. Believe that God is with you that he can handle what you're thinking and measure what you're thinking and saying by what we know the word of God says about his wisdom. Finally, back in Psalm 139, at the end of verse 24, it says, "See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the everlasting way." David and our only hope is in God. Thus, the purpose of God searching and knowing and testing us is to determine whether there's any offensive way in us. Why? Because the desire of us is for God. We desire his presence in a deep way. It's that thing we try to fill up with other things. It's the place where God belongs in our hearts and in our minds. And we want to put an end to anything in our life that might destroy that life-giving relationship, that everlasting way. Friends, we all have offensive ways. I have some really wonderful friends that are kindest, most sweetest people I know. And I know even they, and surely I, have offensive ways. God has put this desire in him, inside of us. His desire for him is in here. And we have offensive ways. And scripture talks about that. It talks about falling short of the glory of God. And in scripture, that word is sin. Our offensive ways are sin. We have places and things we say and think and do, and we miss the mark of that beautiful, pure, kind, joyful wisdom and being. And those times are when we are sinning. We're looking for a place to go, to find that place where we're cut off from the relationship with God our Father. We're desperate for a way to get back, to span the cavern between our sinful nature and God's perfection. And again, there's nothing we can do within ourselves to create by our power any way that we can be good enough. But God knew we had the sin problem. He knew we would need a way to get from our sinful selves back into perfect relationship with him. So he sent his one and only son. With great love and mercy, God sent Jesus to pay for our sins, to make a way that only God can make. Jesus conquered sin on the cross and death when he rose again on that third day. All we have to do is admit that we're offensive, that we're broken, turn from those things, and appropriate the work that Christ did to cover our sins. If you understand you're a sinner, and if you want to know that peace of God, then let's pray together. Pray this prayer. Father, I understand that I'm a sinner, that I do things I shouldn't do, that I have offensive ways in me. And Lord, I don't want to be like that. I want to have my relationship with you. So Lord, I turn away. I repent of all those things that are standing there in front of me that keep me from my relationship with you. And I understand that Jesus paid for those things on the cross. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and change me. Change me from the inside out. Be the Lord of my life. And Holy Spirit, I'm thankful that you now reside in me and that there's a touchstone for things that are real and true and pure and kind, and that you will gently guide me and remind me and teach me in the everlasting way. All-knowing God, we gather today with praise and thanksgiving for who you are and for what you have done. You know us better than we know ourselves, all our thoughts and actions, and yet you love us. No matter where we go or what we do, your love encircles us, ahead and behind, gently leading and guiding and blessing. We praise you for your love and your faithful presence in our lives, Lord. May your Spirit move in our heart and mind as we worship together. Examine our attitudes and our actions. Lay bare the things we need to confess. Challenge us with your word and guide us on the paths that lead to life. For we are your people and we are called by your name. Amen.